All right, good morning, everybody. All right, you guys been blessed to have me this morning. It doesn't make sense to blame Andy. That's a good thing about having a pastor. You can just blame him for everything. All right, so if you've been to Antioch any time this summer, we've been going through Psalms, and I've been blessed to have one of the longest ones that we had this summer, so... All right, so last week Andy preached on Psalm 17, and it was a prayer of from David from a really distressed place. And so today we're kind of jumping on the back end of that, and Psalms 18 is coming from the being brought out of that struggle and hard times. And so the first thing we need to do is need to understand this psalm gives, it's not like many other psalms, like usually when you're going through the book of Psalms, we don't really have all the context and the background information about what's going on in the psalm. But this one is kind of unique. We are giving the entire context of what this psalm is talking about and discussing. I'm just going to read that first part right here. The Lord is my rock. Or no, that's not it. Okay. Yeah, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. To the chairmaster, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who addressed the words of this song to the Lord on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, he said. So if any of you know, you guys ever read, I love the Old Testament. It's one of my, some of my favorite stories in the Bible, but David have a lot of interesting stories. And so this particular hit the hands of his enemies. David had a lot of enemies, but one of his biggest ones was actually his father-in-law. And so, Saul was the king, and he rebelled against God. He disobeyed God, so God told Saul that I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. And he anointed David as the new king. It wasn't something that David asked for. It was a gift of God that because David had a shepherd's heart. And so he made David king, and this caused, the Bible talks about how it, once the kingdom was taken away from Saul, he was told, I'm going to take the kingdom away. He just had this evil spirit and presence about him from that point on. And every time he seen David, David would sing to him, try to calm that spirit down. He would throw a spear at him, like he'll just chase him. And eventually he chased David all around the country trying to kill him. And so the biggest thing is for David, like it was a really big thing for God to deliver him. So our first thing that I want us to think about as we're going through this, like what is the meaning of deliverance? Like what is the meaning of it? The online Bible gives us three definitions, and my favorite one is the second one. If you can bring that up. So it is the action of being rescued or set free from bondage or danger. And David definitely can express like he was set free from danger. It was from at the hand of Saul. And some other things that I want us to consider is like, what is the purpose of God's deliverance? Like, why does God deliver us? And I think throughout this psalm, David expresses two things to us, the purpose behind deliverance. The first thing is that it is a way for God to communicate with the delivered. All throughout the Bible, when God delivers the people of Israel, he always is trying to tell them something, express something to them. They always, you'll have times in the Bible where they call, after deliverance, they'll say, call him Jehovah Jireh, which means God, my provider. And like, and so it was always significant for God to deliver his people because it expressed something about him to them. God was a deliverer. He was a savior. He was a protector. And so, and a second reason for deliverance is it gives the delivered an opportunity to respond to God. If God is communicating something to us via deliverance, then anytime you have communication between two people, it takes a response from both ends. So God responds to David and saying, I'm delivering you. And David then has to respond something to God. So we are going to go through Psalms 18 today. And we're going to look at four distinct ways that David responds to the deliverance of God. And then we're going to make some application along the way. So I'm going to read Psalms 18. Don't fall asleep because it's long. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. The earth reeled and rocked. The foundations also, and the mountains trembled and quaked because he was angry. The smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring the fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherubim and flew. He came swiftly with the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. The clouds, the dark with water, thick clouds, dark with water, and out of the brightness before him, hailstones and coals of fire broke through his clouds. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He flashed forth lightning and routed them. Then channels of the sea were seen, and the foundations of the world were laid bare. At your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of your breath, your nostrils, he sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, and he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him. I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show mercy. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. For you save a humble people, but the haughty eye you bring down. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proved true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? The God who equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of deer, and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand support me. Your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and overtook them, and did not turn back till they were consumed. I thrust them through so that they were not able to rise. They fell under my feet, for you equipped me with strength for the battle. You made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their back to me, and those who hated me I destroyed. They cried for help, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as dust before the wind. I cast them out like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from the strife with people. You made me the head of nations. People whom I had not known served me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners came crying to me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of my salvation. Three more. The Lord God, who gave me vengeance and subdued people under me, who rescued me from enemies. Yes, you exalted me, and above those who rose against me, you delivered me from the man of violence. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. I should just walk down from that. Okay, I'm going to say a prayer really and pray for our time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to read your word, Lord Jesus. I ask that you just decrease me, Lord Jesus, and let these words not be mine, but they be yours, Lord, that we don't leave here the same way we came. In your son's name, amen. All right. So as I said earlier, unlike any other psalm, this psalm gives us a lot of context behind what was said. And I think our big question for today is, David, last week we learned that he said a prayer in the midst of a hard time. And this week we're coming on the tail end, and David is saying these things about how God delivered him and what he delivered him from. And so the big question for us today is, like, how do we respond to deliverance of God? If deliverance from God is a two-way communication, he responds something to us, and then it is our turn to respond to him. So how do we respond? And so I think in the scripture today, there's four ways that David really expresses his response to God's deliverance. And so our first way today is David responds in devotion to God for his character. So in verses 1-3, I'm not even going to read all this over again. So in verses 1-3, we hear David really express to God, he sings praises to God and recounts the character of God. And what he really expressed, what God had been to him and what God is to him. He says, God is my rock and my fortress. So he says that God is stability and security for him. God is a secure place. And he also says that God is a shield and a stronghold. He is protection in battle. And we know that David is talking about he was running from a man that was trying to kill him. He had many enemies from his time being a king. And the thing about God being a protection, he's being a fortress and a shield. Like, if there is a fortress, you obviously build a fortress because there's somebody that's going to attack. You don't just build fortresses to live in and have a good time and have a party. Like, fortresses are meant to protect you against something. And so the point of having God as a fortress that is, battles are going to come in our lives. Like, Jesus promised to us that, like, if you follow me, you will be persecuted. There's no way out of it. And so it's a good thing to have God as a fortress, because David said he is security and he is stability, because a battle and enemies are going to come. There is not a question about it. But he said, in you, I find that security. So, and you can only understand what David expressed to God is, he says that God is a stability and security. And how can David know that? You can only know these things by having a personal relationship with God. So David spent time with God. David communicated with God. And you can only know what God is and know the character of God is through a personal relationship. And that's what David expresses, that love of God, through his relationship that he had with God. So the second thing that David, how David responds is, David responds by remembering what God delivered him from. And so there's four ways that he actually remember this. The first one is verses 4-5. David remembers the circumstances. The first thing he is remembering the circumstances, he said, I was encompassed through the cords of death. And he said he was at the mercy of Sheol, which is another word for torture or hell that the Bible uses it for. And he said that, so have anybody ever had a time where you've been in a situation where you seem like it was really hard to get from, like there was no way out of it? Like, it would take a miraculous situation, a miracle of God, to remove you from this situation. I know I have in my life. There's been many things in my life at the time when I lost my ability to walk at 21, couldn't walk anymore. Then I lost my sight at 22. And then one of the times that I almost lost my wife because she lost the baby and she had an ectopic pregnancy and she almost died from that as well. So, but in those situations, I couldn't see my way out of it. Like, I was encompassed by death and terror. And it takes those situations that I can look back now and say, oh, right, God is security. He is stability because I'm on the back end of that situation. And there was nothing I can do in those situations. As David said, there was nothing that I can do but call on the God that I know that can deliver me. When you're encompassed by situations of darkness and despair, you have to call on the one that you know will rescue you. And for David, he said, that was my God, who is a fortress and stability. So the second way that David, within this remembering the circumstances, the second way that David remembers is he remembers, and I just lost it, so he remembers the manner of that God delivers him. And so it's not just about remembering the circumstances. He said he remembers the manner in which his God came. He said that God shook the earth. Like, he came down with thunder. He was angry. He came down with thunder and angry. And he said, and there's something about when God hears the cries of his child, David says, he comes with zeal. The Bible calls it zeal, or another word for passion. He has passion and zeal, and he will shake the foundations of the earth to get to you. Like, that's the God that David said he serves and he loves, a God that would shake the very foundations to save me and deliver me. And then it was that, though, that God really shook it. But David said, my circumstances were so great that he had to come like that. There was no other reason. He had to come than the fact that my enemies would know, who is this God I serve? God always communicated, when back to the point where God communicated something through deliverance, David talks about how his enemies were in fear of this God who came with thunder and angry and smoke. When God delivers his people, for one, he tells the people that he's protecting them, but he always tell the enemy of God, the enemies of his children, that you better stand back. Like, you better fear this big God that is coming to rescue his people. And we learn that all over the scripture, where God tells us that, you know, at his very name, the enemy shakes and trembles. And so that's what David remembers, these how his God moved in this mighty way. And it's really important to remember how God delivered us, because it's easy for us to get through the motions of life and forget how God delivered us. And then when we move to another situation, we get blinded by pain again. And we look, where are you, God? But when we remember the circumstances and how God delivered us, we can see God through the pain and say, oh, this is just another trial. This is just another circumstance. Because why? I can believe that because I have a personal relationship with God, and I have seen in my life how he has come through before. And so David explains that he goes on in verses 19 through 29. And in remembering, and he goes on to remember, the next reason he goes on is say he remembers the reason for God's deliverance. Where he talks about, like, how if we ever think that God owes us anything, like, sometimes we can get in spirit like, God, I have been faithful to you all these years. You owe me deliverance. But if you ever read the book of Job, we know, like, Job got blasted. Like, he came to God crying and moaning, and God said, where were you when I created the foundations of the earth? So we can say that, God, I have been faithful for years. Like, why aren't you delivering me through these circumstances? And then God said, well, I've been faithful since you, before you was born, before the beginning of time. And it's like, point, God, I have nothing to say. And so we have to remember, David goes on to say, why, God, why have you delivered me? Like, he goes on, why have God delivered me? And he says that it because of my faith, because I had faith in God. Like, that's the only, it was not because I was a good king. It was not because I was necessarily a good person. If you read about David, he had problems. He killed a man for his wife. He had a baby by this woman. Like, it was just so much stuff. Like, he did. He ran down the streets naked. Like, he did a lot of crazy stuff. And so it was nothing that David was just such of a great person. But we read about what God's faith does to us. When we have faith in God, he no longer sees us in ourselves. He sees us, David said, he sees me with his righteousness. And so faith allows God to view us in a different light. And so it was because the faith that David placed in this God who delivers him, God made this leap of faith and said, I'm going to move the earth to rescue you. David had a desire for God's character to be his own. When we desire God for God's character and God's ways to be our own, then we can accurately see when God delivers us, because I'm no longer looking through the cloudiness of my pain. Because when we're going through trials and pain, it is not as though God is not there. We only see the clouds. But anything, if you know anything about weather, when it's cloudy, the sun is still shining behind the clouds. It's just this, the clouds are preventing you from seeing it. And that's what troubles and trials and pain, it prevents us from seeing God shine above it. And so what God does is he breaks through those clouds and let us know, I'm still here. I'm going to deliver you. I am your protection. And so David, and that's the only reason that God does this is because the faith that we placed in him. And that's the only reason why David says, my God, rescue me, not because of me, but because of him and my desire to live for him and the faith I placed in him. So the third thing that David goes on to respond is he responds by rejoicing in God's blessing and support. It's not only good to remember what God has bring us from and then and the reasons for God's deliverance, but excuse me, we also have to rejoice in that. You got to find joy in this time where God deliver you for something that no one else can rescue you from. David's heart and mind was in the right place, which enabled him to see God rightfully and rejoice over God's character. I can't rejoice in God if my heart is not right. It's just that simple. The Bible tells us that, like, from the heart, the mouth speaks from the heart. Like, what we say and do comes from our heart. And so David can only sing praises to God in these hard times because he had a heart for God. The Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. And so when we fix our heart on God, we can rejoice even in the midst of terrible pain and suffering. Keeping the faith and seeing God rightfully enables us to see past the hurt and pain and see the victory that God gives. Troubles and trials, they only last for a while. The Bible tells us it's only a season, like joy comes in the morning. And so David understood that. Our struggles are not, and then the Bible makes it clear that our struggles are not just for us. There are opportunities to see God comfort and draw them to others. 2 Corinthians 1 and 4 says, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by. So trials and tribulation, we are able to rejoice in that for somebody can say to us, it presents an opportunity for somebody can say to us, how are you so happy right now? Like, what is it about you that you can walk around with a smile in the midst of these horrible situations that you are going through in our life? And then that's when the opportunity to comfort them and say, it's not happiness. Happiness flees. The next trial, my happiness goes away. It's the joy that I found in the Lord. Joy comes from God. Joy comes from knowing God. And that's something that no one can take away. There's no pain can take away the joy of our salvation. There's nothing that no one can take that away. And so it enables us to, gives an opportunity for someone to say, how can you do this? How can you make it through this? And I would say, but God, like it's God, it's not me. I would have given up years ago. It's God. So the last way that, the last thing that David does is David makes a conclusion and a commitment. The last way that David responds to God is he makes a conclusion about God. David, and he had this conclusion about God. He said that God is my rock. He is my protection. And he said he is my salvation as well. This trials increased David's admiration for God. And he committed to praise God and had a desire to share his experience with others. That desire to commit to God, he confessed. David's in these scriptures, he confessed that God is my salvation. It echoes what we learn in the New Testament. where Romans 10 tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is God and God's raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. So David, way before salvation was even entered, David makes a confession that God is my salvation. And then he goes on to echoes Matthew and says, Jesus gives us the commandment to share the gospel. And David said, I will commit to share this news with everyone that I come in contact with. So once we respond to God through these other three things, through responding in devotion and remembering God and rejoicing, we have to come up with some conclusion. Somebody once, a famous theologian, said, like, either he's Lord, he's a lunatic. What's the other one? I'm just drawing a blank. Andy? Liar. Thank you. See, y'all smart. See, he's a Lord, lunatic, or liar. You have to come up to some conclusion about who God is to you. It's not just about saying, oh, I seen God working his way, I'm coming to church. Like, no, we all have to, at some point, make a conclusion who God is. And David said, for me, he is my salvation. And because of that salvation, it makes me want to share. If God has ever delivered you from something and saved you from something, you cannot sit still and not share that with someone else. Like, God requires of us to respond to him. The deliverance of God requires a response. We have to make some type of conclusion to what he is. And if we make the conclusion that he is Savior, then we have to come to some sort of action. You have to have the faith and action. They go hand in hand with each other. The deliverance of God draw David deeper into God and piques the curiosity of others. It makes people ask, who is this God that can cause singing and praises in the face of death and hardship? So the conclusion is, what does that mean for us? So David made this conclusion that God is his salvation. God delivered him from enemies. We're not facing trials like David. We're not being chased around the country by a jealous stepfather who says we have took his kingdom away from him and desires to kill us. Yet the Bible tells us that we face a spiritual battle. That the battle that we face is not with flesh and blood, it's spiritual. And yet we have an enemy that is jealous that God has given all of you access into his kingdom through faith. The Bible tells us the enemy comes to seek, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy us. He, just like David's enemy wanted to encompass him with death, Satan don't want any of you to have salvation. He don't want you to have what David had, access to the kingdom of God. He wants us to perish, not only physically, but spiritually as well. So when we're faced with these spiritual battles, we have to come up to some conclusion. Who God is to us. I literally had to come up to this conclusion again this week. I was faced with a difficult situation this week that I couldn't see my way out of. Random thing, this week I was ready to, had a weird day, had woke up with some neck pain, and I was fine throughout the whole day. Sat down to get ready to study for my sermon this week. Just got this blinding headache. All my kids was downstairs taking a nap. Got this really blinding headache. And I fell asleep. I woke up, my wife called me, she was on her way home, she was about 15 minutes away, and she said, you're talking really weird. Like, I was trying to give her directions, but I kept repeating the same thing. I would get to part of the directions and I would get stuck. I just kept repeating, like, you go this. And so she was like, I need you to call the paramedics. The paramedics came and they ended up taking me to the hospital. But from the point when the paramedics got there to the point of the hospital, I couldn't speak at all. I couldn't utter one word to the point that I thought I was even having a brain aneurysm or I was having a stroke. And so I spent the day in the hospital, and it was just really hard to utter one word. And all I had to think about was this sermon. Like, God, who are you to me? Who are you to me? Like, I'm calling on Jesus. Who are you? I can't call on anybody else. No one of the doctors don't know what's going on. They did test after test, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. So at the end of the day, the doctors had to come to some conclusion what was going on with me. And so, but I had to come to a conclusion, is the doctors going to be able to rescue me? Will they be able to save me? I could be encompassed by death right now. We don't know what's going on. And so I came to the conclusion that the Lord is my salvation, not the doctors, that he will rescue me from this. And so by 2 a.m. the next day, I got one word out. I was able to say my name. By 4 a.m., I got three words out. And then by 7 a.m., I started speaking again. So it calls for us to God's deliverance. God offers us, Jesus offers us all salvation. And it calls for us to make a response to him. And it's a response of faith. God is able to rescue and keep us from any trial in our life. No matter what pain, no matter what loss that we go through, God is there. And it's such a blessed thing. I'm really thankful for my church. And it's a blessed thing when you have a faith in God and you're in a great community, community rathers together. And that's so. That's what is so important to share with your community what you're going through. Because if we hold it into ourselves, it's going to eat us away. We have to share with our community. That way they can comfort us. Because somebody's been through what we've been through. And so my community here was able to help and come. And for the last 4 days, my family didn't have to cook food because the community gathered together and rallied and helped us out this week. But that's a community of faith that does that, that love each other genuinely. And God offers that to all of us. But it's up to us to respond in faith to him and make a conclusion that, Lord, you are salvation. And because you have died, just like God did for David, said, God shaped the earth to reach me. Jesus shook the earth to get to you. He died on the cross to get to you. And literally the earth shook after his death, saying that there is no separation from me and you. I'm making it available for you to get to me, for you to respond to me in faith, and I will save you. But you have to come to a conclusion. Are you going to let your pain push God away? Or are you going to do like the psalmist did and say, Lord, I'm going to invite you into this heartache. I'm going to invite you into this pain. And no matter what I go through, Lord, you are my deliverance. You are a refuge where I can hide in. And the great thing about the Psalms, that the Psalms shows us that you don't have to have it all together. If you wait to get it together, you're going to miss it. David cried out to God time and time again, God, where are you? Do you not see what I'm going through? Have you forgotten about me? My enemies are laughing at me. They keep telling me that there is no hope in God. God, where are you? But then he never leaves it that way. The whole entire book of Psalms is a song, is worship to God. You crying to God and telling him your heartache is worship to him. He wants to hear what you feel. But David never leaves it. He always ends with, but I will trust in the Lord. So it's up to they to say, Lord, in spite of what I'm going through, I want to take up your offer. I want to trust in you. I want salvation. Save me, Lord. What must I do to be saved? And he said, just confess that I am Lord and Savior. That's it. So it leaves us at the end of the day to make some conclusion about God. And we have to ask ourselves some questions like, what will we do with this? What will we do with this opportunity that God has delivered us? How will we respond? And my prayer is that you will respond in faith and trust that God is a deliverer and a protector. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you today. Lord, we thank you that you died on the cross, Lord, to offer us salvation through faith, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that through your stripes, Lord, we are healed and delivered, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you took the punishment of sin to invite us into a personal relationship with you, Lord. Lord, I ask that you touch everyone's heart today, Lord. Lord, like you did in the Bible, Lord, remove any stoniness in our heart, Lord. Give us a heart of flesh that we may feel you, Lord, that we may respond in faith to your offer. Lord, strengthen us, Lord. You offer so much support to us, Jesus. You give us support to make it through trials and struggles, Lord. David said it was only through you, Lord, that he was able to go beyond himself, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the strength and the comfort you give, Lord Jesus. Be with us, Lord, as we go through this week. Let us not have a faith, Lord, that is just stagnant, Lord Jesus. But let us be hearers and doers of your word, Lord Jesus. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.